There are 24 hours in a day. One third of the day is spent in bed. Now why not be in the most comfortable you can get? Layla mattresses are more than just a foam mattress. They are copper infused and flippable. That's right, flippable. If you like a harder mattress, use one side. If you like a softer mattress, flip it over and voila. And the great thing about Layla is getting to try it out for 120 nights. That's right, 4 months. And if you decide that you don't like the mattress, Layla will pick up the cost of shipping it back and give you a full refund. Layla also offers bamboo sheets, weighted blankets, and memory foam pillows. And if you act soon, you can take advantage of their spring sale. $150 off a mattress and 2 free pillows. That's a $300 value. Plus, they are offering $30 to $50 off accessories. If you would like to take advantage of this great deal, simply follow the link in the show notes to let them know we sent you and to help support the show. Layla Sleep, thoughtfully designed for the most cool, clean, comfortable sleep imaginable. Hey guys, what's going down? What's going up? What's going sideways? What's going all around? I don't know. What a stupid introduction, right? You know, I've never been known for my great introductions. That's okay. I'm Nate Wade. This is Everyone Has a Story, and I am glad you have joined me for another episode. We have Bo Chappell on the show today. If you don't know him, you soon will. Fantastic guy. Wonderful to talk to him. He's got a brand new novel out, and I expect each and every one of you to check it out on Amazon.com. You can find all those links in the show notes. But let me talk just a little bit about the thing that's been really entertaining to me this past week or so, and that's the relaunch of sports. It's been funny, especially the cardboard cutout fans in Major League Baseball. Now that has been hilarious, and I just got done watching a couple of basketball games here on TV, and the, virtual fans that they've got on NBA. Now that's pretty dang funny. Now I'm really interested to see what's going to happen when they get into football season, because I guess they're still thinking about having football season, but it's going to have like 50% capacity in these stadiums. I mean, how are they going to make any money? These sports organizations are going to have an incredible time trying to make some money. I'll tell you that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And then I heard just yesterday that I guess a bunch of players on the Florida Marlins team tested positive for the COVID. So maybe the Major League Baseball season is going to still end up being non-existent. I don't know. Does anybody watch Major League Baseball anymore? I like baseball, always have. But I'm having a hard time with them recently because they've decided that they don't like minor league baseball anymore. And so they've decided they're going to shut down a bunch of the minor league teams, and my local team is one of them, and they say, oh, well, we don't need them, it doesn't do any good, but I'll tell you what, this team here brings in a lot of money to this community. It brings in a lot of money in a lot of different ways, and it provides entertainment. In fact, it's the only professional sports team we've got around this area. So why do away with that kind of stuff? I just don't understand it. The farm club, maybe the farm club system in Major League Baseball has been a little bit too expansive for what they need to do. I don't know. Stop spending so much money on those players. I'm pretty sure that Major League Baseballs are some of the highest paid athletes in professional sports, which is really interesting to me because, again, what kind of profits does Major League Baseball make as compared to the NFL or the NBA? I just don't think it's that big, especially the NFL. I could be wrong, but you know, what do I know? What do I know? I'm old school. I mean, I still have baseball cards. I mean, that's how much of a baseball person I was back in the day. So, you know what? Again, I have Bo Chappell on the show today, and we've just had a fantastic conversation. And again, he's got a new book out on Amazon.com. He's going to talk a little bit about that in this interview, and you will find all the links to his social profiles and things like that in the show notes. But without any further ado, here is Bo Chappell on Everyone Has a Story.
Hello, we are from Netflix and Swill Podcast. Let me review Netflix shows for you, please. It would mean so much to me if you let me review Netflix for you. Somebody's got to review them. Why can't it be me?
Come on, let the boy review Netflix shows for you.
Hi, hello. Are you good? Good. Let me drink crappy alcohol and make jokes for you. I'm already going to be reviewing Netflix for you. Just say yes to me drinking crappy alcohol. Honestly and sincerely, I would like to make jokes for you to laugh at.
He's a good, hard-working boy. Let him drink some beer and make jokes.
Please don't make me watch the one-star movies.
He's a nice boy! Watch your own damn movie! series. For God's sake!
Download Netflix and Swill, please. I'll put all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean. Please download our episodes. I already started watching the one-star movies. If you didn't want to listen to our show, why'd you let me watch the one-star movies?
Can we stop this cruel game and allow the boy to keep one shred of dignity? For God's sake! I can't stand to see him in all this pain! So just listen to Netflix and Swill! For the love of God, let the boy review Netflix for you!
Up and stayed. I'm here in South Carolina, the Golden Corner, as they call it. I grew up in Salem, South Carolina. That's where I spent my childhood.
So why did they call it the Golden Corner? I've never actually heard that before.
It's weird. I don't know why it's so special just because it's the corner. I don't know why they left out the other two corners. I'm sure they feel left out.
I'm from Idaho, and those of us out west are pretty pathetic when it comes to eastern states. Where is exactly Salem, South Carolina? Is it like south South Carolina, or where is it at?
It's in the upstate area.
Oh, okay.
We're just off of just on the border of Georgia and North Carolina.
Okay, gotcha.
Nice touch. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about living out here in the West. We're just like, okay, there's Idaho, there's California, there's Nevada. We got big old states. We know the names because there's not that many of them. And you go back east and it just starts looking like little tiny blobs. And we're just like, I don't even know what state is which. I give up. At least that's the way it was with me. I don't know.
No. That's it. And anytime it doesn't help that anytime we come up in the news, it's for something bad. So. If we don't get a lot of movies,
yeah,
that are set here or anything. So,
well, if it is, it's obviously, like you said, something, you know, probably got some flag waving in the background that's been in the news lately and that kind of stuff. But that's too bad. I know there's plenty more to South Carolina than that. I really do. You know, Idaho, we're almost as bad out here. I mean, you know, we've got Idaho's a big state. And we're known for our Aryan Nations. I don't know if you've heard of them or not before, but it's basically the skinheads, you know, the white supremacists.
Really, though, in Idaho?
I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, actually, Northern Idaho, Northern Idaho, the way you have to get there, there's like this big, massive mound of mountains right in the middle of Idaho. So to get to Northern Idaho, you've got to go through Montana up to Northern Idaho, and it's about an 8-hour drive, so it's hard to get up there. But in a little place called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, there used to be this big ranch called the Aryan Nations Ranch, and I can't remember the guy who ran it, but he was a big – they had white supremacy marches, parades basically through downtown Coeur d'Alene all the time. And then finally some mother and son, I can't remember, something happened to them, and they sued the ranch and they won, and it bankrupted the Aryan Nation, so they had to close it down. But
that's sweet.
Yeah, it was a really cool idea, right? I mean, it was an awesome thing. Yeah. But you know, still, unfortunately, there's still plenty of that around. There's still a lot of white supremacy that exists up here in good old red state Idaho.
You wouldn't think to name Idaho as a hot spot. That's like a trivia question.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. There's some things going on here, you know, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I think if there were states that were ever to secede from the Union, it would probably be like Texas and Idaho and, you know, maybe Utah or something like that. We're just a bunch of red state rednecks around here. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know. But
No, we'd be on that list. Yeah.
So you were born and raised in South Carolina, and so pretty much it's all you know. I mean, you like the state? Is it pretty there? I've never been there.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous state. The Southern hospitality thing is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Even my friends that moved away, they always joke about how they miss it because, you know, if they smile and wave at somebody, people are like, what the hell is wrong with you? They get that type of look, stop looking at me.
Yeah, right.
But here that's just common, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's weird to think about people not being nice to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're pretty good around here for that kind of thing, too. But, you know, it's small town mentality, so we still have that around here. Is there a lot of trees and stuff around there in South Carolina? Is it, like, foresty? See, I went to New England a couple years ago, and I was just amazed at how many trees. Because out here in the West, I mean, it's sagebrush, man. That's what exists out here. Sagebrush and mountains. You get up in the mountains, you get your pine trees. But I was just amazed at how many trees. I mean, their homes were built in, like, they had to cut the trees down to build a house. It was just crazy.
Yeah, we have so many beautiful state parks and stuff here. I mean, mm-hmm. Where I grew up, they ended up turning it into a state park.
Oh, they did?
Jocassee, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Actually, they built that lake because that was a man-made lake. Because there used to be a town at the bottom of that that lake, and they abandoned it and they moved all of the bodies out of the graves, but they just pretty much left everything intact.
Oh, I see. Wow.
So a lot of people like to, it's like a scuba diving attraction. A lot of it was in Deliverance.
Oh.
I think like the famous banjo scene.
Yeah, yeah.
That's underwater now.
So when they said that they were going to go, they wanted to wrap this river because they were going to flood it because of a reservoir, that actually happened?
They probably did build around that idea. Yeah.
Huh.
Probably did. And then you can go on YouTube, there's a ton of videos you can look up about people, you know, scuba diving because, you know, a ghost town underneath, but it's really just eerily beautiful. Huh. Everything was just left intact, and it wasn't that long ago, it was just a few decades. So.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So, yeah. Tell me a little bit about your family life. You got siblings, did your parents stay together the whole time, what happened there?
Yeah, it was a dysfunctional family, but yeah, my parents stayed together and still together.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I had a brother, two sisters. Always wanted a brother, but ended up being the middle child between two sisters. We were oddly born 7 years apart.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it was like this weird generational, like I didn't have a lot to do with my older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was already a teenager by the time I had, like, started getting into school and everything. So she, you know, she obviously didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Being in high school and everything. But, yeah. And then I grew up and then I had my kid sister, you know, and I hung out with her a lot. And, yeah. And then we were living in Salem and then we had like a mortgage on the home. And I think we ended up like losing it. Because we were just very tight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used that opportunity to move closer to closer to a bigger city. And I say bigger city, but, you know, it's still a small town.
Yeah.
To a bigger area. So it was weird. Like, Salem is, the population is so small.
Mm-hmm. How big is it?
Oh, what was the last census? That last census, I think it was like just a few hundred people.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So, yeah, really tiny then, huh? Wow.
Yeah, wow. It was like a big deal that they got like a dollar store and things like that down there. Like, that
probably still no stop sign or no stoplight or anything like that down there, I'd assume.
Oh, no. Oh, when I was a kid, I used to play in the road all the time.
Really?
Because there was no traffic whatsoever.
So is it off the highway or off the freeway or something?
Yeah, it was like all these back roads and stuff. And,
gotcha.
Like when the plants, you know what time the plants were getting off, so you would just be out of the road for all these people getting off work and stuff. But other than that, it was so rare for a car to come through.
Wow. Did you
that? It's very Andy Griffith.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Did you like that small town thing, or did you wish for a bigger city? Or?
You know what? I did when I was younger because, you know, I was kind of a loner kid anyway. I was kind of a geek, and I figured that out pretty early on. So, between the gap with her siblings, so I would, you know, play outside a lot by myself. And my dad would, like, you know, build, like, play bows and arrows with, like, some sticks and stuff. He'd carve them and, like, tie shoestrings and. So I just run around the woods and like have little adventures and things and
sure,
it was fun. But then, you know, I had gotten to that point where, you know, I was reading a lot of comic books and seeing movies and stuff, and I think we got like satellite TV.
Yeah,
and it just kind of expanded my mind,
okay,
so to speak. And so I was like, oh, there's all this cool stuff out there, and I've never seen it. Like when I was like watching, like when Doctor Who had gotten over here, like the how everything looked so unusual and everything, and the way everybody talked, I was like, oh, what is this? What is this? What's going on over there? Where is this at?
So, right. So when you moved, did you? Does that mean you had to go to a different school with new people, or was it still the same school that you would have went to?
Oh, yeah. All my childhood friends, I had to pretty much abandon because, yeah, we moved to a different thing, different city. So it was weird, and I was very nervous about it, but I'm glad it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really did expand. You know, I started listening to, like, different types of music and mm-hmm. – just all sorts of, I was just exposed to so much more.
Sure. What kind of music influenced you back then?
Oh, I really started getting into rock and alternative, like, because in Salem, like, it's that's country town.
Sure.
That's Garth Brooks. That's that prime
Alan Jackson kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. All that stuff in that prime. So. Right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Enjoy some of those acts, but it was, I can't imagine like in my life like not learning about Radiohead or Nirvana or things like that. Because
mm-hmm.
I think it was my older sister that exposed me to like Nirvana for the first time.
Yeah, sure.
She'd gotten an album like when they had gotten big, and I was just like, "What is this?"
You know,
it's not a hair band,
right? You know, that's the best thing I think probably about. Unfortunately, I don't really have an older sibling, but that's the best thing that I've heard many times about having an older sibling is their introduction that they give to their younger siblings, a different types of music that you're not going to hear on Top 40 radio or something like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I would just seek that out, and since we live so close to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I could pick up their college radio.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
And there was so much good music. I learned about like at the drive-in was a huge one.
Okay.
I was like, these guys, I love these guys. I got to find out about these guys.
I've never heard of them. That's the name of the band?
Yeah, at the drive-in. Huh. They're no longer. Well, no. They're kind of on and off.
Yeah.
They split up into Mars Volta. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
Cedric Pixler.
I have not.
And Sparta. They're really so good.
So is it alternative rock type stuff or what?
Yeah, they're like what is it? They're like hardcore, like post-punk or something like
okay.
that.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
They're
gotcha.
Really, really good. Hmm. And then, you know, like... Pretty Girls Make Graves, things like
sure.
that.
Okay.
There was a lot of good bands.
So what time frame are we talking here that you were in middle school, high school? What years?
I graduated 2001, so
okay.
This would have been, you know, I'd say previous years.
Okay.
So those 90s, man, that was...
Yeah, so you were big into that. Yeah, mid to the late 90s would probably be your big music scene right around there, huh?
Yeah.
I graduated in. Go ahead.
Oh no! I was just gonna say like it was nice growing up in the 80s as well though.
Yeah,
because I'd gotten just the cusp of all that great stuff as well.
Yeah,
like video games and comic books and toys and all
sure.
that. I just caught that, and then I moved into the 90s, and there was all that good pop culture stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated from school in 1992, so I'm old. But I mean, that was right when the alternative scene was starting to break. You know what I mean? So it was like one day we're listening to like MC Hammer, and the next day Nirvana and Pearl Jam invade the scene. It was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
It was so weird. And we had the hair bands, you know, like you're talking about. So we had, you know, we had Poison and Slaughter and, you know, all those big hair bands back then, and then they were gone, and everybody wanted to listen to Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots, and it was so mm-hmm. weird how fast the music scene changed. It was just really crazy, but yes. I liked it. I was a bigger fan of the grunge than I was the hair bands.
Yeah. But and yeah, because MTV had taken, they had got, that was that was probably like their last hurrah. They were really on top of that scene.
Yeah. Back when they still played music
very well.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you were into writing and art while you were in school. Did that go all the way back to junior high or middle school or whatever you called it over there? All the way through high school, or when did your interest in art and writing start?
I think that started in elementary school.
Okay.
As well. Because we had gotten into, I always enjoyed doing art projects and stuff. And then we would do like creative writing. Mm-hmm. And then we had gotten this chance to like write books.
Okay.
Like short stories and books. And I remember my friends really liking my stories. And then just the how fun it was to like hand make a book and bind it and everything. I was just like, this is great. I really love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stress free. And that continued all through, high school. I was very, it was such a relief from everything else in school.
Okay. What do you mean exactly? I mean, what else was going on in school that, you didn't care for?
I think I was just so, worried about my grades and stuff all the time that everything had to be done. I was like, I was an honor student like throughout school period. Mm-hmm. So when we had holidays and stuff, I'm the type of person like, well, we got projects to do. I'm going to do them now. So I can enjoy the rest of the holiday.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm not that other person that like, I'll do it, right before school or whatever.
Yeah.
So having that escape in school, like where didn't have to worry about work, because a lot of school to me was just work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enjoying the friends and the atmosphere, and like art classes were my escape, and English classes were a good escape for me.
Yeah. Well, so then you said you graduated with honors in high school. So like what? Did you get like 4.0 through the whole way or what?
I was in the top 10th percentile in my class. Oh, wow. And I'd gotten English and art honors because I was in advanced art and everything.
Oh, I see. Wow. That's pretty good. That's better than I did. I barely graduated from high school. I was on the honor roll one, we were in a trimester system over here, and I was in the honor roll one trimester of my entire high school career. And the reason why was because I had played it out where all of my core classes were done after my second trimester of my senior year of high school. So my third trimester, I just took the most dumb classes you could possibly imagine, like a whole class on fairy tales, a whole class on how to rapid comprehension, how to read fast and stuff like that. So I mean, I aced those classes, and so I had like a 3.9, but they were the stupidest classes ever. But I'm not gonna tell anybody that, I mean, heck, I was on the honor roll for one trimester, so there you go. But that's about as smart as I was in high school. I wasn't very good. So
but that would be my advice to like don't take it as serious. Yeah. Like I went back and looked, and I got, no offense to it, like I got the same piece of paper that everybody else did.
Yeah.
It's just words on a paper that you mm-hmm. take to wherever you go next, if right. it's college or wherever you go. And even then it's that. I mean, it's
right.
You get your learning however you want to get
right.
it.
That's exactly right. And so what did you do after high school?
I had planned to, I was really hell bent on wanting to go to, the Art Institute in, Atlanta.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, but I just could not, just financially, I just couldn't secure the funds. Mm-hmm. It would have been a greater deal. And I was just stressing about having to do that. So for the longest time, I was just kind of floating around just again, aimlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to like work on, trying to get scripts and comic books and stuff, submitting in the companies and doing that with, without my huge stack of rejections letters there. But I was just trying to just do that, mm-hmm. but I wasn't yeah, that was just kind of floating aimlessly.
Okay, so
for a long time.
Okay, so then, I mean, what happened then? I mean, you're not still floating aimlessly, I'm assuming.
Oh no, well, we are, but. I think I'd finally, I was kind of like moving past it.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I was stuck on this one story that I would just, I turned into a script and I was trying to turn it into a comic book and I just cannot sell it and I cannot get the funds up to like do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of, it was on and off forever. And then I ended up, seeing like a thing for submissions for doing a Doctor Who essay book that we're putting together on, I think it was Whovian.net.
Okay.
And I submitted that and I got in. And I don't know, there was something about that, like getting actually, they always tell you that first submission, when you get it, it does something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's, oh, okay, this is possible.
Yeah.
This is totally possible. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah.
So after that, I got back to work on the that original story I've been working on for years. And mm-hmm. then I just decided to self-publish it.
Okay.
After all those failures about knowing what to do with it. Because the self-publishing thing kind of opened up around the same time. That was just great timing.
Oh, sure, sure. So did you go through Amazon then, or what did you do?
Yeah, I went through Amazon. Mm-hmm. Through their, it was CreateSpace before they, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. What was the name of that book? I'm sorry.
Year 47.
Okay, okay.
That was that, that the survival horror western. I had, yeah, I'd written that because I was, that was the floating aimlessly stuff. I was like, you know, dealing with, that was, it's funny because it's what, you had Augie Peterson on.
Mm-hmm.
As a guest, and you know, we're buddies, and I was just shocked to learn how much religion and, you know, her kind of faith, you know, thinking about that stuff, how that, how much that impacted her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing with me. I was just, I didn't know what my relationship was with God or anything, and I was just very angry all the time.
Yeah.
I think for a long time, and I just kind of worked all that stuff out in that book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that still available on Amazon for people to get?
Yes. Sweet. Yeah, so okay. It's totally available.
Right on. Well, I'll have to check that out myself. And for those of you listening, you need to go check that out too. I've read Bo's most recent novel, and if it's anything like that, it's good. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But you also told me that you worked with, let me see if I say this right, Aphotic Realm magazine?
Because I had, you know, through all that, it was because of the community I had gotten in with, because it's so welcoming, mm-hmm. the horror community. People yeah. just, I remember when I came in and I needed like my first book review, and it was formerly, was it horrorwriters.com?
Mm-hmm.
It was Sean LaChance. He was, he's like, yeah, man, I'll review it. I don't care.
That's no pressure. Awesome. Yeah, I've kind of noticed that just, you know, on Twitter, how, like you said, on the horror community specifically. I follow a lot of writers, but the horror community specifically seems to be very open. Like you said, it's just a great community to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have, you know, there's the spats that happen every now and then, sure. but just like with anything. But yeah, everybody like really roots for and just supports each other.
Mm-hmm.
In that community, it's really nice. So through Sean, I had met a ton of people, and one of the people I ended up working with was the guys over at Aphotic Realm.
Okay.
Through their magazine, because I had gotten some stories published for them, and then you know, I eventually ended up doing the podcast, the Geek Man podcast, with Dustin over there.
Okay. What was that podcast about?
We wanted to do a podcast about positivity.
Okay.
And talking about nerdom and fan things without all the hate and just complaining about like what's wrong with everything.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing several seasons of that, and I think he still plans on continuing it, but I kind of stepped back from it for a bit as a co-host.
Okay.
But he's still doing it, and he's doing like action, custom action figure paint jobs and things over there. He's doing like some really cool stuff.
Oh, wow. Now, he works, yeah. You said he works still on the Aphonic Realm magazine as well?
Oh, yeah. Him and, he's one of the co-founders.
Okay.
And,
well, tell me a little bit about that magazine. What is it exactly?
Oh, they're like a they're great over there. They do this really cool publication. It's like a horror sci-fi fantasy magazine.
Okay.
But it's like book quality.
Oh.
Like they print like these really nice. Adrian over there, he spends his time. You know, I'm sure he's got tons of ulcers from doing it, but just these beautiful books, and they find like the coolest indie, you know, writers in the scene, and they interviews comics. It's very like American heavy metal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like those really cool pulp magazines.
Right.
They're still doing them, and I just gotten in with them because I'd done a couple stories, and then they ended up asking me to guest edit a book because they do book publications on the side as well.
Hmm. And how'd that go?
That was a fun experience.
Was it?
Oh yeah, that was a great experience. Yeah.
Cool. So you worked with that one podcast, and then you told me that you've had a couple of other podcasts that you've been on or worked with, the Grey Rooms podcast and the No Sleep podcast. You're just a podcasting fool.
But not as much as the guy who got me into those, really. I'd gotten invited with one of the co-creators because he was a writer and he was, you know, doing stuff with the Aphonic Realm too.
Uh-huh.
Brian Black, he's one of the co-creators of the Grey Rooms, and he had invited me on. And I immediately said, no, I can't do it.
Why?
Like an idiot. At the time, I was just so busy with other projects.
Oh, okay.
And then I started seeing, like, everybody they were picking up, and they were all my friends, and everybody was so excited about this new podcast. And I was like, fuck, I messed up, man.
Yeah.
And then, but luckily, they opened it back up to, like, to take on these additional stories you could submit. And I had submitted one and got in. And then I had done another story for their second season. And, you know, just before Brian ended up leaving to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really fun. And then I ended up meeting and being buds with Graham Rowett, who's on every single podcast ever as a voice actor. I mean, pick one. I'm sure he's done an episode.
Yeah.
So he had saw a story that I did on that I had posted at Kindle Reviews, and he was like, I really like this story, and I would like to record it for something at some point. And then like a year later, you know, because it was a Christmas story, and it got Christmas time around again, that, you know, and he was like, I really think we could submit this to No Sleep and do it as a thing. And I was like, of course, yeah, do it. If you think it's, you know, they'll take it. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up producing it as like a bonus holiday episode for David's, the creator, for his birthday and everything.
Oh, wow.
And that was fun.
Hmm.
There's No Sleep, guys. Both No Sleep and Grey Rooms, they top-notch, like, audio drama.
Okay, so that's what both of those podcasts are, is like an audio drama type of a podcast.
Yeah, they do like a horror sci-fi.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, hey, I just heard on Augie put out a little thing just a couple of days ago saying that that's what she's going to be doing here with her podcast was to.
Yes, I cannot wait for her new.
Yeah.
And she's got an episode on the Grey Rooms as well.
Oh, does she? Okay, awesome.
Yeah, people should check it out. It's really
cool. For sure. So you said, okay, so I asked you for some notes. That's what I'm going off of here for people out there in podcast land, behind the scenes. you said probably the oddest achievement you've ever had was getting a joke on Adult Swim's Mary Shelley's Frankenhole. Tell me about that.
Yes. it's one of those weird, every time I tell a story, I know people don't believe me. I just get that feeling that nobody's going to believe me.
Uh-huh.
because there's no evidence other than, you know, like old, you know, messenger things or something. But yeah. I had, back in the MySpace days, that should date this.
Mm.
I would chat every now and then with Dino Stamatopoulos, the writer and creator of that show, and he's, you know, wrote on Mr. Show, and a lot of people probably know him as Starburns from Community.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
But we, you know, we had chat back and forth, and then that kind of transferred over to Facebook. And I don't know why. I still to this day think he just accidentally sent me the things. He had sent out like this mass thing of like, he's like, hey, here's, I'm working on the show, and it, you know, any thoughts or ideas, like, you could, if you could give me, you know, just whatever. And it was his new show on Adult Swim, because he had just, he was doing more oral. And I was just like, I took it very seriously. I was like, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but I'm going to watch this, and like, I'm getting to watch it before it even airs, and this is cool, and this feels weird.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just had like a throwaway thing. I was like, if you do this, that might be, you could just make that joke, you could punch it up a little, it'd be a little funnier. And he was just like, okay. And then like months later, that episode came on TV, and the show was edited, finished editing the music and everything. And then there was that joke, and I was like, what the f-? And then I contacted him back. I was like, did you actually put that joke? He's like, yeah, we went up and used it. And I was just like, what happened? It was insane.
Huh.
But in case anybody, it's the Thomas Jefferson episode of Mary Shelley's Frankenhole.
Okay. All right. I got to tell you, I've never watched any episode of any show on Adult Swim at all. Is that terrible?
No, I'm not judging anybody for doing anything.
Yeah, you know.
You can tell me you've never seen a Star Wars movie or anything like that, I'd be like, okay, that's
all right.
That
well,
happens.
I don't know. I'd probably judge somebody who hasn't seen a Star Wars movie. I'm just saying, but no,
it's like mathematically like impossible. But
well, it is. Actually, I'm pretty sure I did talk to somebody just recently who said they've never seen a Star Wars movie, but because it's in the back of my brain that somebody's actually said that, which I just find absolutely impossible. Like you said, it just seems like not possible to not seen at least one Star Wars movie in your life. But you know, we don't have cable. That's the biggest thing around here, so we don't. And I've had, you know, my kids are finally getting older, but I, you know, when Adult Swim is probably the most popular, my kids were still young. I just never, ever bothered to turn that on when it was on, you know what I mean? So, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we've moved into the wave of the future. I just don't have cable. I got my Fire Stick, and I watch a lot of Netflix and Hulu and crap like that, but that's about it. I'm sure there's ways I could find those cartoons that are on Adult Swim. Without having cable?
Yeah, I'm sure they're pretty sure they have like a streaming thing, and then also it's like on Hulu. And
yeah, that's
because I think Warner Brothers owns all that
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard there's some interesting shows on there, like was a Robot Chicken, I think, was one that was really popular for a while. Wasn't that on
there?
Yeah. And what was the big now where is my kids love my two oldest kids love Rick and Morty. Where's that one from?
Rick and Morty ended up doing on Adult Swim.
It was on Adult Swim? Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. My kids love Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty is pretty great.
Oh, my gosh. I've not seen an episode. I should. It seems really funny. And I just, like, I don't know. It's weird because, like, I'll watch, back in the day, there used to be the show on MTV, well, Nickelodeon/MTV called Ren and Stimpy. I don't know if you ever
heard of that. Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. That's
love,
classic.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, all those kind of shows like that I was totally into, but for some reason, Rick and Morty just seems like it's over the top for me, which it probably isn't. It's probably not much different than some of those other cartoons that I absolutely adore and love. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess. So
no, yeah, check it out. It's pretty neat how sophisticated that show gets. Uh-huh. For it to be so wacky and insane.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to check them out. I've got it. You know, like I said, I've got ways to do it. I might as well. So, you know what? Let's get into a little bit of conversation about your new book. Now, has it actually been published yet, or is it still waiting to be published?
No, it's out.
It's out.
You can. Okay. Get it wherever, paperback and Kindle.
So. Right on. And what was the title again?
Our biggest fears.
Our biggest fears. So how long have you? How long did it take you to write this book? Is this something you've been working on for a while, or is it something that's only been just recently?
I would say probably that the idea was probably about a year old, and once I had the idea and how to get it out, I'd written that first chapter,
mm-hmm.
and I was really happy with it. And then brick wall for months and months and months. Oh,
really?
I did. Wow. Yes.
After one chapter,
what else
huh?
To do with it? Yeah. Oh, they okay. were there. I don't know.
Huh?
It happens, but yeah, I've been watching like a lot of. I got obsessed with watching those tours of tiny homes.
Oh.
On yeah. YouTube.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just how creative those things were, and I just like jokingly had a thought. I was like, man, they should do a home invasion in one of these. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, that actually probably wouldn't be that hilarious. You could probably do something neat with that. And then I just held on to that idea because, oh, you can't just put weight on that alone.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's where I hit that brick wall. I kind of knew I'd want to do something about a serial killer and home invasion mm-hmm. with tiny homes and... came up with that first idea for that first chapter, and then I didn't really know what else I wanted to do with it for the longest.
Okay. And so then how did you end up getting back into a point like, wow, I know where to go with the story, I know what's next, that kind of thing?
I had I think it was a lot of because a lot of stuff is based on like personal issues with like me and my family growing up in mm-hmm. Salem and my kid sister and things, and I had gotten an idea because we were both kind of having tough times, and you know, I realized I wouldn't see my sister as much because she had moved away, and it kind of sparked there. I was like, this kind of longing to have like that relationship that we had when we were kids, and you know, needing to have that sibling, like we need to talk about our problems and stuff, but you know, we can't really, you know, talking over the phone or online and stuff, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
So that kind of set a spark about like, oh, you know, what if it's about, you know, brother or sister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about, oh, if it's about the tiny house, and then you know, and yeah. then I started working on all the personal stuff.
You know, I gotta say, I don't know how many times I've ever seen like a story. Of course, granted, I don't maybe necessarily read a lot of horror stories per se. Watch a lot of horror movies, but not read a lot of stories unless it's, you know, Stephen King. Who doesn't read him? I guess. but siblings. I mean that kind of you know, relationship in the story is not something that seems to be done very often. At least I haven't seen it or read anything. You know what I mean? So
That's what I've been hearing back about. Oh, sorry. That's just what I've been hearing back about a lot of the reviews and yeah. stuff. They said they love like, cause I grew up with slashers and stuff, especially mm-hmm. in the '80s.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
Jason.
Oh
like, yeah. I love that stuff.
Seen them all.
I had a very cool wax mom who would actually like take me to go see those movies.
Oh yeah,
and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because she knew I could handle it. And
yeah,
she,
yeah.
Like if it was ever too much, that would stop.
Uh-huh.
So what if I ever did get too scared about something, I wouldn't let on.
Yeah.
Thanks, mom. but yeah, I'd want to do that, and then but people said they really picked up on the slasher stuff, but they were surprised by the relationship in the. Because I actually cared about the people that were in the book as opposed to normal slashers where you're just sitting around waiting for the people to die.
Right, right. No, that I totally agree with that. I mean, I really liked the way you hashed out the relationship between the brother and the sister. I thought it was fantastic. I mean,
thank you.
They had, like you said, the troubles in their lives was really hashed out, and you understood what each one of them was going through and the fact that, you know, they've had these problems in their lives and then the relationship with their father and stuff. I mean, it's a great story. I was really impressed.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm glad the reviews are coming in and they're good.
Yeah.
I'm really glad people are enjoying it because I was so scared.
Yeah.
I was kind of stepping out of my usual. I don't know. I was just very nervous about this book.
Mm-hmm.
There was something because not necessarily about the personal issues, but, or, you know, obviously they're exaggerated and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the, I don't know. There was, I was doing something new and weird to me.
Okay.
I think story-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very nervous.
Well, I think it paid off. I don't think there. I think at this point you could probably stop being nervous because it's a good story.
thank you.
So, how has it been? Pretty successful then since it's been released.
Yeah, yeah. I've gotten. I don't think I've gotten any negative feedback from it whatsoever.
Great.
Like it's been really. Like, I think I had the most hype off of it. It's because people, I was so worried about the cover and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody was really enjoying that. And I don't know. I really did a lot to kind of push the whole experience. Plus I did I sent like book reviewers, like this little kind of, little gift set where they had to interact and figure out all these things that kind of figure out, like the killer in the book is on. They had to figure out that he's on Twitter.
No, oh.
And he's been following him for months.
Oh wow!
And that's actually where like all the special features are held. I made like a playlist of like the soundtrack and like related videos and things,
uh-huh.
Like old commercials and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah,
because I'm. Fan of special features and things.
Yeah, heck yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you do the cover for your book?
Yeah, I've done the cover for all my books.
Okay,
because it's yeah.
And what else do you do with your art? Yeah, I mean, you've done the covers for your books. Do you have like art for sale, or do you sell it? I mean, what do you do with it?
I do like commission work on the side and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing artwork for a buddy. I'm doing his children's book. He had saw what I'd done with mine, and he's. He wrote this great children. It's so adorable. I can't wait to. I've slowed that thing down so much, yeah. By not getting that work done faster. But when that comes out, I cannot wait because the prose he's written, it's so adorable,
mm-hmm.
And can't wait for parents and kids to share that.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Is there a specific style of art that you normally do, or do you dabble in everything? Or
I try to do everything, but I know I'm not capable of doing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up with comic books and American cartoons and stuff, so that's usually what I'm more comfortable with. My style is more cartoonish.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
That's cool.
I totally just had a brain fart. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. Well, Bo, it's been a great conversation. I appreciate you joining me this evening. I wish you nothing but the best with your book sales and this new book, especially. If you guys, folks, please check out his book. We'll have the links in the show notes where you can go, you know, get his book and anything else that Bo wants me to put in there. I'll make sure that you have ways to get a hold of him if you want to chat with him. Do you have any other books that are lined up or any other stories that you're writing right now, Bo?
Just side projects and little things right now because I'm trying to just kind of take a mental break from writing.
Mm, gotcha.
A little vacation, so I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. When all of this this COVID stuff settles down, do you make it out to any conferences or anything like that?
Yeah, that's the weird thing. I'm that weird introvert extrovert person.
Yeah.
I love talking to people and doing things, but I'm very
sure,
very private. Like personally, it's very weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't know. I've been to like okay, so we've got this one. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. There's this one. What do they call it? It's not a convention, but anyway, it's called Life, Universe, and Everything. And it's down in Provo, Utah. And those people down there would probably be exactly like what you described yourself as just now. I mean, they're introvert, extrovert kind of things. And I mean, the biggest nerds. I loved it, though. But I mean, you can like fade into the background if you want and just, you know, go to the different seminars or you can participate. I don't know. It, it, It's hard sometimes. I totally get what you're saying. But have you ever?
I would like to try doing. Because I love doing book signing and stuff, but all of our local bookstores and everything have closed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just very bummed. And of course, couldn't be really doing it now anyway.
Yeah, right.
I really wanted to do Comic Con, South Carolina Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up delaying it this year.
Yeah.
And canceling it, which I'm glad they did because they were kind of they kept pushing the day, and I'm just come on, just cancel it.
Yeah, don't right. Exactly.
Yeah,
they had
maybe next year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they had they have in Salt Lake City. They have what they call FanX. They used to call it Salt Lake Comic Con, but then they got sued by the big San Diego Comic Con saying they can't use that name. So they changed it to FanX. They had to cancel that, and then they were going to have the World Science Fiction Convention down there in Salt Lake this year. And they had to cancel that. And I was really bummed because we got tickets to that and we were going to go. And next year it's going to be in Montreal, so it's going to be a heck of a lot farther away to get to. But so I don't know what we're going to do. They're having a virtual thing, a lot of these conferences and stuff are going virtual. But it's cool, but it almost feels like I'm watching YouTube. I'm not sure. There's something about going and participating that is worth it for me, So
yeah, especially with the horror community and stuff, they love doing. I really, my heart goes out to them because there's so many of those that are getting canceled.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. And it's so weird. Yeah. This is a weird time right now, man. Everything has been canceled. Our state fair got canceled. My kid's in marching band, and I don't know if he's going to have any marching band competitions this year. It's so weird.
It's going to be, this is. The kids this generation, they're going to remember this year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to forget this, that's for sure. I can't even explain it. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, but it's just your whole world is just shut down and there's nothing to do. There's stuff to do, but
everybody's just kind of gotten antsy and common sense is kind of gone out the window just because of X reasons.
Yeah, and then it's all politicized, and I never thought in a million years I'd see the day where a mask would become a political statement. It's just so weird. I just don't get it. But anyway, that's as deep as I'll go on the politics in this podcast. So,
stay positive. We'll do it.
That's right. That's right.
Man podcast.
Yeah. So, Bo, again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much. I know we've been trying to do this for quite a while, and I'm glad we're finally able to get it to work out.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoy the podcast. It's such a unique take to just – it's like a little random grab bag of people. You don't know who's going to be on this week and why.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. So thank you for the invite, obviously.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for your kind words. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Bo. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bo Chappell on Everyone Has a Story. Thank you so much, Bo, for calling into the studio and sharing a little bit about your story with us. Truly, truly appreciate it. Fantastic conversation. If you folks want to find out a little bit more about Bo, you can do so. You can visit his website at bochappell.wordpress.com, or you can also go to his Amazon author page. You will have those links in the show notes. You can buy his new book there. It's called Our Biggest Fears, and I highly, highly recommend it. Fantastic book. I have read it. It is good, and it's kind of a different little take on the horror genre, so I think you guys will like it. Thanks again, Bo, for calling us here in Everyone Has a Story. And if you would like to share your story here on our podcast, we would truly love to hear that. You can reach out to me in various ways. You can find me on Twitter, which I'm fairly active on, at K-Nate Radio. That's K-N-A-T-R-A-D-I-O. You can also reach out to me at Gmail. That would be knateradio@gmail.com. Find me at Everybody's Got a Story on Facebook and Instagram. I am just all over the place, man. I am a happening dude with all my social platforms. You know what I mean? No, I'm really not. I'm a mid-40s Generation Xer, and yeah, I'm middle-aged. What can I say? My kids are the ones who are like, Dad, you're such a nerd. I never thought I'd find the day, see the day that that's the case, but it has been the case. If you want to support Everyone Has a Story, you can do so. You can find the Patreon page in our show notes. You can also purchase some Everyone Has a Story gear and stickers and all that kind of fun stuff at the Threadless store. You can also find that link in the show notes. And I have a new podcast I'm doing with a buddy of mine, Simpleton number 2, Charlie, and my son, Simpleton number 3, Lemuel. You can find that Simpleton Review podcast on iTunes. You can find that on Anchor and Spotify and all those fun places. That is called the Simpleton Review podcast. You can also find the video version of that. Yes, I am going high tech with YouTube. The video version of Simpleton Review podcast on YouTube. That would be the Simpleton Review podcast on YouTube. Pretty cool, huh? Well, this is Nate Wade. I am so thankful that you spend a few minutes with me every week, and I appreciate it, and I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. So, for now, this is Nate Wade saying have a great week. Don't get too hot. It's summer. It's the dog days of summer. It sucks. All right, man. Talk to you later. Bye.